The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Deuteronomy chapter 26 verse 9 says, He has brought us up to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was a promise that had been given earlier, but because of fear, delay had occurred, but now they're getting ready to go in. Good afternoon. I hope you're having a good day. And we want to give a shout out, Alex. This is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland on Exploring the Word. And we may have some people listening that have never listened before in Corpus Christi, Texas. We have just turned on the airwaves there, and it's 88.1. So if those who are listening have some people, friends, and kinfolks in Corpus Christi area, tell them to tune in to 88.1. New listening audience, Alex. That's exciting, brother.
Well, it really is, and we love Texas. One thing about Bert Harper and myself, we've got a lot of listeners in Texas. Texas is really special to me. I've been down there to preach a number of times, and my dad used to tell me stories about when he was stationed in Corpus Christi, Texas, when he was in the Navy many years ago. But we welcome you, and we welcome everyone listening. And we're in Deuteronomy 26. And, you know, Bert, the Old Testament books don't often get as much fanfare, I guess, as the New Testament books. But I have thoroughly enjoyed our trek through the book of Deuteronomy.
It has been a good trek. And I just want to say there's jewels all through the Old Testament, like in books of Leviticus and, you know, a few more. They're not as plentiful on each page, although each one is important. But in Deuteronomy, it's been a very, very welcomed awareness of what God is doing. And that's what I wanted to do with verse 9. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the tithe before we get there. But what I was wanting to say is God's faithfulness and a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, I've brought you to this place. Now you go in. I've already given it to you. How you like that, Alex? It's already been given. They just got to go take it.
Isn't that something? That God's promises are yea and amen. And, you know, I think about ultimately the victory of Jesus over history. You know, it's a done deal. I mean, we are on the victory side if you're a believer in Christ. And right now things sometimes look bleak, and it's easy if you're a news junkie like me, sometimes you can get kind of burdened. But we got to remember that God taking Israel to the promised land, it was a done deal. And God ushering in his kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's a done deal, isn't it, Bert?
Amen. It's a beautiful deal, too, and it's worth everything that you have, like selling everything that you could acquire, although it cannot be bought with money. And it's a relationship that God makes available, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. And, you know, folks, part of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be in church. And I think it's beautiful. I'm in a lot of churches to preach, and this weekend it'll be my privilege to be in Oklahoma. Oftentimes in churches, they'll recite the Apostles' Creed, or they'll do the pledge to the Christian flag or something like that. And, you know, it can be very moving when, you know, whether it's reciting your life verse or something like that. In Deuteronomy 26, there's a recitation that the people were to do. And think about this, with all of the ordinances and the things that they were to follow, it was a reminder. It was a reminder of God dealing with his people. And I just think here in Deuteronomy 26, Bert, there's something just very moving about what the people were to do when they went before the priest.
They were to bring the first fruits of the land. That's what it talks about, of the ground. And you shall bring it and present it to the priest. And then it's a history. And let me just bring this up to date. One of the greatest things that I ever did when I was in the Holy Land and I was visiting Jerusalem was to go to the Holocaust Museum that is there. And while I was there, Alex, the young soldiers that had been drafted into the Israeli army, they take that tour. and they look to see what had happened to their people back in history, especially during the period of time of the Holocaust. And so, you know, one of the things that I think why in the world has history become less significant in our education system, I really believe it's purposeful that we won't know the richness of what God has blessed America with. And here in their worship, which is the tithe, they're to resuscitate many of the blessings God has given them, and it was memory work. I know the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag wasn't long, but when I did that, it brought a little bit of joy in my life. And so there's something about resuscitating and repeating your history, isn't it?
Well, it is. And what they were doing, they just picture, folks, how meaningful this must have been for a family. But they take the first fruits, they put it in a basket, and they went to the temple. They hand the basket to the priest. Verse 4, "And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak," this is what you're to say, godly man, godly house leader, "before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians treated us evilly and afflicted us, laid us into hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked upon our affliction and our labor and our oppression." Verse 8, "And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders brought us to this place." Well, the word translated Syrian is the same as Aramean. And you remember even Jesus spoke some Aramaic. And you remember Jacob was working for Laban. This is back in Genesis 29. And Jacob became his name became Israel, and his descendants were known as the people of Israel, the children of Israel. They went down to Egypt. But this recitation, Bert, is, I've got to believe it was a very moving thing. When they came to worship, they offered their offerings to God, and they recited their history, really, of the deliverance they enjoyed by the gracious hand of God.
Alex, I want to take time to share with people the importance of sharing your story. We need to learn the Bible stories. We need to learn them. We need to have them. Especially if you're a Christian and your children are preschoolers and young children, I just want to tell you, they love action, and they love to learn these things by action, and they love to wrestle and touch and the dad getting down and being the giant, and one of the children being David. Act all those out. They will. My three sons, they remember that to this day. But you also want to tell your family stories of what God has done. Okay,
this is
their family story. You catch what I'm saying?
It's a testimony.
It is, and we need to repeat some of our family stories of God meeting our needs. And I want to just tell you, when they're older, they'll remember some of those stories that you remember. The prodigal son, he said, "My servants of my father has it better than me. I'll arise and I'll go to my father." A memory was made. Some thoughts were made. And so we need to be busy about this. It's not only beautiful, but it's an example of what we should be doing as well, Alex.
Well, it is. And folks, you know, there's two kinds of testimonies that you can share. And I do hope that you're in the habit of testifying for Jesus. You know, to testify is to declare, to proclaim something. And sometimes when I've been in churches on the road preaching, I'll say, look, let's open up the floor. Who wants to brag on Jesus and tell us what God has done for you? Now, your salvation testimony is how you came into a relationship with the Lord. And then you can also testify about things God has done for you. God has answered prayer. But, Bert, I was so blessed when I went to Liberty University. Bill Bright, the very renowned leader of Campus Crusade, his son Brad Bright told me this was probably the last college class he ever taught, but I took personal evangelism under Bill Bright. We went through his book, Witnessing Without Fear, and he was there at Liberty University to be a guest teacher, and we did a module. But here's the thing, a salvation testimony Bill Bright taught us is, A, my life before I met Christ, B, how I met Christ, C, my life since I've known Christ, and D, P.S., you can know Christ.
You can know Christ too. Amen, brother.
Guess what, Alex?
That model is good anywhere, anytime, at any place. It really is.
Yeah. And I want to just encourage everybody, maybe write it on paper and get in the habit, share a 2-minute version of it, be able to share a 5-minute version of it, but you'll be amazed by your personal testimony. You can be a witness for the gospel and you can lead people to Christ.
Amen. So what you do with that in mind, you go to verse 11, it kind of closes out. And I love this passage because it has joy. I'm always looking for joy because even Paul, when he was in prison, writing the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Here it says, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. See, you are talking about a testimony. There it is, that stranger that may be passing by, that they would pick up on you. And again, I said it and I said it again, the strategic location that the land occupies, connecting three continents right there in that strip of land, Israel. And you got Europe over there. You got Asia up above, Africa beneath. And if you were going by land, the chances of you going through this area was great. So you would have people that were going through. And when they go through, in that day, hospitality, they didn't have, you know, a Holiday Inn. Most of the time they stayed in, you know, they stayed with people. And what an opportunity to share what the Lord has done. So what you were saying about your testimony in here in verse 11, it's demonstrated on that sharing your story, and it's just given you an example of how to do that in the verses preceding that, Alex.
And do you know that when the stranger or the neighbor passed through, there were things, the way that they were to behave and conduct themselves, you shall say before the Lord thy God, I've brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, to the fatherless. And it goes on, and it says, I've not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use. When you make a dedication to the Lord, or you make a commitment to the Lord, you're supposed to follow through on that. And they're saying here that they're committed to the ways of the Lord. And it says, I've hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Amen. Or wouldn't it be good if it could be said of us, and may the Lord help us, wouldn't it be good if it could be said that we had hearkened unto all that the Lord commanded us?
What a testimony. And let's finish this segment, and we're going to come back a little bit in verses. We'll finish up verse chapter 26 a little bit. And I know Alex and I want to share some things with you before we go to 27, but I want to read verse 15. This is the request. This is the prayer. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people, Israel, and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Lord, look down upon us and bless us. I would say that's a prayer that we could pray today. You're listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Alex and Bert with you, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your healthcare forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein continues from the popular Journey to Zion DVD teaching series. This segment is titled The Changing Course of Antisemitism, and we join Rabbi Eckstein as he speaks to an audience at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem.
Today, we have friends who will stand up for us. We pray that it would never come to the circumstances of people having to risk their lives. But people sometimes have to risk their reputations to stand up for what's right and for the Jewish people. People can sometimes have to risk their standing in their social crowd, in their company, in their business, to say that's really not right to say something like that. And thankfully, God has brought to the fellowship, to America, to around the world, a revival of true Christian faith based on the Bible. People who believe in God's word and people who know the meaning of what God said to Balaam long ago. You shall not curse that people. You shall not persecute them because they are blessed.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments. Learn more about the Land of Israel and the Jewish faith with our free educational resource, Limud. More information is available at holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org. And if you'd like to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the Jewish people, you can record your prayer on the Fellowship's prayer line at 888-241-IFCJ. That's 888-241-IFCJ.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with you. And we're in the latter part of chapter 26, and I want to read verse 17. And Alex, you can put the pieces together. But I want to say this, a lot of times what we as believers need to do is make sure that our walk and our talk match. In other words, what we say and how we behave is right. In other words, behavior and belief. Listen to this in verse 17. Today you have proclaimed, okay, that's your talk, the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and commandments and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Now, one of the greatest things we can do as believers is have a consistent life style. That's what I pray for. Lord, give me consistency. I do want compassion. I do want that, but I also want consistency in my life. I think the Lord was telling them, this is what you need to live in the land that I've given you. That has not changed. We still need that consistency, don't we?
It does. In verse 16, the Tyndale Publishing, the New Living Translation, renders it this way. It says, quote, you must commit yourself to them without reservation. That's strong, isn't it?
It is. No reservation. That sounds like this song that we sing at invitations, older one, but they have modernized it on I forgot what group, but I Surrender All.
Oh,
and,
I know.
Every time that is sung, I think it's a lot easier to sing than it is to pray.
Well, it is. And, you know, the song, I Surrender All to Thee, I Surrender. If we were honest, sometimes we should probably sing, I Surrender Some.
Yeah.
Some to Thee, I give,
but right. He
deserves all.
But here it does say everything, doesn't it?
It does. All. It says, you have declared today that the Lord is your God. You have promised to obey his laws, commands, and regulations by walking in his ways and doing everything he tells you. The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure, just as he promised, and that you must obey all his commands. If you do, he will make you greater than any other nation, and then you will receive praise, honor, and renown. You will be a nation holy to the Lord your God, as he promised. You know, there's a couple of things we could say. For a moment, let's talk about the location of Israel and the people of Israel, and let's talk about salvation, because Israel has been a great nation. I mean, throughout history, you know, disproportionately small in number, really a disproportionately small area of land, and yet, I mean, without question, Bert, the most influential people group in the history of the world are the Jewish people, aren't they?
They are, and you see that here, and everything God did for them was a witness. Now, you remember, let's go jump to the New Testament because, you know, the Old Testament is great and it would stand alone, but praise God, there was more to it. And Jesus came to fulfill it and not do away with it. He gave meaning to it. But Jesus said before he left, "You shall be witnesses of me." That's exactly what he had Israel to be, a witness of God's glorious grace. Mm-hmm. And Alex, if you're God's people, regardless in the Garden of Eden, all the way up to the very last believer that's here on earth, when it's done away with, however that might happen, that part of our response is always the same. You shall be witnesses of me. And do you see that's what he's saying here? I want you. I've given you a land. I've given you a law. I've given you a way to live. I've given you purpose. I've given you everything that you need to occupy this land. Now go and do it, and do it with an attitude and action that will glorify me. And
exactly.
What a testimony.
What a testimony. And, you know, Bert and I love the gospel, how Christ died, rose again, and everybody can know him. It doesn't matter what you've done and you think your sin is too bad. Your sin is serious, but whatever you've done, Christ can and will forgive if you'll turn to him. And, you know, Bert, there's a lot of ways we could present the gospel to people, and we could talk about the empty tomb, and that's amazing. We could talk about the Bible and how God has preserved his word, and the Bible is the most amazing book. One thing, And if you're listening and you're considering God and, you know, what should I do with this thing called Christianity? Bert, in the first segment, you were talking about the land of Israel. Now here, and you've been and I've been, and I just encourage all people, if you possibly can ever go to the land of Israel, it's fascinating beyond words. But, you know, here's this little piece of land that really was, you know, a connecting point between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And different scholars have said, look, okay, to the west you got the Mediterranean Sea, to the east you've got an impassable desert. In the ancient world and in the modern world, I mean, between Europe and Asia and between Africa, you know, Israel is the connecting piece that holds it all together. And different scholars have said, look, if God in the ancient world were going to pick anywhere on planet Earth to start a movement that would touch the entire planet, just from a geographical standpoint, the place to do it would be this little 60-mile-wide piece of dirt called Israel. Now, you know, North Africa, which would be to the south west of Israel, is a place that's intensely Islamic. And all over that region, I mean, there's been fighting and things like that. And you might say, well, why in the Holy Land has there been so much violence and everything? Well, there's the devil and there's sin. And the idea that the salvation of God would be obstructed by the devil, that's part of the story, isn't it, Bert?
It is part of the story. And praise God, Jesus in that location would be born. In that location, he would be on the cross, and he would rise again, and the Holy Spirit would fall on the church in the upper room in those locations, very strategic location for all those things to happen, and they had that land. Alex, when you come to chapter 27, what you're doing, chapter 26 looks ahead to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Chapter 27 continues that. He said, yep. You're going to come into this land. And again, he uses that illustration, flowing with milk and honey. And he talks about building an altar there and then putting the word of God and the commands on that piece of stone. And so the altar is there. I believe in altars. I believe in altar calls because God wants us to bow before him. Yes, they've been misused, but don't let someone misusing, like an invitation or something, cause you not to do it and do it right because you mm-hmm. can. But here the altar is set up, and again, it's looking forward to when they come into the land. What's God's doing? He's making this transition, Alex. He's reminded them of the laws that was, given in Leviticus. He repeats them here, but now he's addressing them. You're going into this land. And in just a moment, he says, now when you come into this land, not only have I rehearsed them here, but when you get into that land between two mountains, I want six of the tribes on this mountain and six of the tribes on that mountain. And we're going to look at the curses and the blessings that mm-hmm. you will give, you will receive according to obedience or disobedience. So he was preparing them to go into this land so that they could carry out, again, God's mission of witnessing to the world where the Messiah would come from. What a testimony chapter 27 is, and it starts mm-hmm. with an altar, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. And, I just think it's so pictorial that they were to get what sometimes you'll hear them call field stones. Where I live, Bert, you can't even put a shovel in the ground 3 inches and you'll hit rocks somewhere. It just seems like the ground around here grows rocks. But have you ever heard them called field stones?
I have not. That's new. We don't have them down here in Mississippi too many. We just have dirt.
Yeah. Well, God told the people to make an altar out of natural stones, uncut stones. They weren't to be chiseled on with iron or anything like that. And they said if you, chip away on it or cut it with a tool, it'll be profane. Now, there are a couple of things here. The pagans would make statues that they would worship, and they would get sculptors to turn rock into these idol things. The altar was to be uncut stone. It reminds me of in Daniel chapter 2, and we've been through the book of Daniel, but the stone that fell from heaven that was an uncut stone was Jesus. Amen. And you see, the altar was made of uncut stone. Jesus is our altar. He is the sacrifice that the wrath of God was poured on Christ. He paid our sin debt. And I just, in this admonition of Deuteronomy 27, I see even in that detail a reference to the Savior who would one day come.
He was, and you write the words on the stone, and he's the word of life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's the word. So it gets, I think, a double meaning there, Alex, when you look at that. So they build the altar. They offer peace offerings. They come to the Lord. And in verse 9, then Moses and the priest, the Levite, spoke to all of Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Now notice, this day you have become. There was a growth, but he said today's an important day because the altar has been built. This is the day. And it says, therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe the commandments and the statutes which I command you today. I haven't counted the times, but I know this is at least the fourth time that we come through this, and he says, you're to live it out, you're to proclaim it, and you're to live it. The emphasis is really being put upon these people before they go into the land, because when they get into the land, sometimes we forget things. After the battle is over, we forget what all that God was to do. And so here he says, you're going to the land, there will be Mount Gerizim, and there will mm-hmm. be Mount Ebal, and six of the tribes will be on one and six on the other, and they'll be that of cursing and then that of blessing. And so you're getting into this cursing and blessing all the way through chapter 27, but it's mostly the cursing in chapter 27, and there's 12 mm-hmm. curses that he warns them, don't you do it. and they agree, and they say, amen, let it be, we will not do it. They were ready to agree on this side of the Jordan River, weren't they?
They were. They were. Now, were you taught in grad school how to remember these, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal?
No, I was not. Tell me.
Well, Gerizim was good and Ebal was evil.
Okay.
You know.
G-N-E. I got you.
Yeah. From Mount Ebal, if they were to disobey God, there were the curses, the evil things that would happen. And then from Mount Gerizim, if they would obey, there were the promises of the good things that
now,
would happen.
Now, the next time you're teaching a small group and you're in Deuteronomy 27, you need to remember that, good and evil. That's great, Alex.
Gerizim was good.
Yeah.
But, I would encourage people to read these because read Deuteronomy 27, 15 through 26, because even to this day, I mean, the human race and individuals are susceptible to these sins, idolatry and rebellion against your parents and theft and, exploiting people and robbing people and immorality. And, I mean, there's some very, very serious things that God said, do not do this. You're my people. Don't sin against me and don't defile yourselves because there will be repercussions.
There is. And the whole chapter 27 deals with that. And the last one I do want to give a little bit more credence to. The rest of them, they are repeated. He's simply, shortened the list down for being able to remember and make it into a ceremony, Alex, so that they could remember. And these are the highlights of all the laws that God had given. And again, let me say they're for their protection. All the laws are for their good, not for their harm. But verse 26 says, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of the law, and all the people shall say amen. That reminds me, a few years ago, and Chuck Swindoll did this from John Wesley's. I think John Wesley had 22 things that they were to ask, the men that were following him, questions about their discipleship and what they had done. Well, I think Chuck Swindoll had taken it and given it down to 6 or 7. But the last one that we would ask each other, and I practiced this at the church where I was pastor, and we would have about 4 or 5 guys in there that were the ministerial staff, and we held each other accountable by asking those questions. But the last one was, have you just lied? Have you just lied? And when I saw verse 26, he says, now I want to tell you, I'm just hear it. I'll put it in my vernacular. Now, guys, here's what you got to do. You got to live up to this. You've already agreed upon all these things about idolatry, about adultery, about all the things of stealing and living right.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to do it. Amen? Amen, well, brother. You catch what I'm saying? You got to go through with it.
And notice throughout Scripture, over and over, there's a reference to the words of God. Now, back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we heard an admonition that was very reminiscent of what we would later hear in Revelation 22. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, God said, do not add to what I command you, and do not take away from it. Here in Deuteronomy 27, 26, cursed is anyone who does not affirm the terms of this law. Some translations say the words. Remember, the Bible wasn't finished yet, but the Word of God was to be preached and lived, but it was not to be altered. Now, in Revelation 22:19, the Bible closes out the final book of the Bible with that very famous verse. It says, do not add to the words I give you, or I'll add to you the plagues mentioned in this book. Do not take away, or I'll take away your part in the from the tree of life. Throughout history, even though it wasn't finished yet, then ultimately it would be completed. But God has really, has He not, Bert? Hasn't God given us some very emphatic warnings not to tamper with the word?
Amen. And I just want to say again, they're for our benefit. When God says not to, He's not a cosmic killjoy. He is a loving Father saying, don't go there. 888-589-8840. We're ready for your questions. We'll look forward to it in the next segment.
Where does revival really begin? Well, there's a clear answer to that in the Scripture. It starts with you. A.W. Tozer said, a man by his sin may waste himself which is to waste that which on earth is most like God. This is man's greatest tragedy and God's heaviest grief. God longs for those he created to be walking in the fullness of his glory, so the world can see what an extraordinary God he is. If you want to see national revival, it begins with personal reviving. Draw a circle around yourself and ask God to begin his movement in your heart. Be open and honest and let him move. This is Bill Eliff for OneCry.com.
You'll want to take part in the Combined Federal Campaign. If you're a federal or state employee, the Combined Federal Campaign lets you designate charitable giving to an organization of your choice. And you can donate to the American Family Association, CFC number 12037. We're one of the few organizations on the list who stand for biblical family values. Help the AFA when you fill out your Combined Federal Campaign form and designate number 12037.
This is something that God really taught me profoundly.
Sandy Rios.
We have every reason to hope. Listen, I will fight until my arms are so tired I can't lift them up again. I'm going to fight to turn this country around. But I also understand that ultimately my real hope is in the God that I serve. I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed because I know what's going to happen here.
Sandy Rios in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on AFR Talk.
People always ask me, what all do you see in Washington, D.C. when you go on your spiritual heritage tour? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I guess the better question is, what don't we see when we go to our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour? We're going to be going in September the 14th through the 17th. The Capitol, all the monuments, the Arlington National Cemetery, the National Archives, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court. We're even going to George Washington's Mount Vernon on Saturday. So it's going to be a great time in our nation's capital. One of the best aspects of this is we get to spend time together with brothers and sisters from across the country. So if you want more information on our tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown trip, either one of those or both of those, you can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, 888-589-8840. We do have some lines open. Tomorrow, we'll do Fire Away Friday. And we always look forward to that. That way we hear from more of you. And then on Monday, we'll get back into Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I kind of expect, Alex, that we might finish up Deuteronomy next week because of, 34 chapters. I think we will get close to doing that, brother.
Well, I think so. And it's been a good study. And we'll keep on in the Word of God as we do every day. But the number is 888-589-8840. You know, one of the things I just love about this show is getting to hear from everybody and getting to the Bible questions.
Amen. And that kind of sets it different. We've talked about the difference in Exploring the Word and the other Bible teaching programs. One, it's a dialogue between Alex and myself, and I know we agree basically, but when you have a high regard for Scripture and you believe that Scripture is the Word of God, and you're going to take it as literally as you can, I think most of the time you will agree similar to that, Alex. But the other thing is, man, we're accountable for what we say. It's not 30 minutes or an hour long of me just talking, or you just talking, and then we go off the air. We have here about 18 minutes of people being able to ask us questions and saying, what did you mean, Bert, when you said that? And I think I love the accountability part of it, brother.
And hey, let me tell you, whenever we get something wrong, people let us know it, and that's a good thing. I got something wrong about 2 weeks ago. In Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? And I said, Jeremiah 17:31. And, the minute that rolled out of my mouth, I thought, I know that is not right. It's Jeremiah 17:9. And I had a number of listeners email me, and they said, Jeremiah 17:31, no, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, who can know it? And the point I was making was that, you know, we don't know another person's heart, and we barely even can know our own heart. But that is Jeremiah 17:9. And I appreciate the astute Exploring the Word listeners who hold us accountable.
You're so good. I've memorized a lot of scripture, but I don't have the location like you do. And sometimes not having the location, you don't get called into account so much. So anyway, so yes, Alex, man, your memorization of the Word of God has been a blessing. Brent, are we ready for, we're still trying to get ready. We got people calling in, and we're still trying to get them ready to go. Go ahead.
I want to read a quote. Folks, I was back in Mere Christianity, the book by C.S. Lewis, and I read something, and I marked it, Bert, because it just, I felt like it was very powerful. Now, in the second segment, we were talking about salvation, and as always, if you've never personally trusted Christ and been saved, do that. We urge you to be born again. But listen to, the fact that every day we make choices, and we've talked much about how, you don't want your heart to become hard. You don't want to resist the Lord, and then you don't hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said, Bert. I think this is very powerful. He says, every time you make a choice, you're becoming something a little different than what you were before. He said, all your life long, you're slowly turning into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature. You're either turning yourself toward a creature in harmony with God or at enmity with God, a state of war with God. Now listen to this. To be the one kind of creature yields heaven, joy, peace, knowledge, eternity. To be the other means madness, horror, rage, and eternal loneliness. Each of us, at any given moment, is progressing toward the one or toward the other. Now, that's pretty sobering language, isn't it?
It is. And choices, decisions, I know this is a cliche, but decisions determine destiny. It also determines a lot of the things that you're involved in, and wise choices. And that's the reason you want to saturate yourself in the Word of God. And so, okay. We're ready to go to the phone lines, and I think the first one is Tony from Texas. Tony from Texas. Yeah, Tony, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I had a little bit of a question, but a comment is kind of an ongoing thing about Acts 20, verse 7.
Acts 20, 7, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
go
sir.
Ahead.
Understanding, like Peter, 2 Peter 3:16 explained that Paul is misunderstood. He did not come to save this, to change the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, the Sabbath Paul kept, according to Acts 17, verse 2, as did Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about Acts 20, verse 7, is we understand that the from even unto even is how the days are kept. Well, if Paul began the Sabbath talking to them, he gathered with them in the evening for the evening meal. Thus, the first day began. Also in Colossians 2, Paul never said do away with God's commandments. He was talking about the ceremonial Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath. Paul never said that, he was a Sabbatarian, Jesus was a Sabbatarian. If we're going to stick with the Word of God, the Sabbath is forever. Isaiah 66, verse 23 says, Christians are going to keep it in heaven. Daniel 7:25 said it's a bad entity that changes it. The commandments are forever, sir. Psalm 119.
What is your question? Assuming your question is that
why are we worshiping on Sunday, the first day of the week?
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of know that answer, but what I was trying to do is trying to get to a correction. You were saying that you don't mind being corrected. Well, several times I heard everybody say that the Christians worship on the Sunday. No, Christians don't. It's a misunderstanding of Scripture. God said forever will the Sabbath be kept by Christians.
Okay, well, Tony, thank you for calling. Thing. Go ahead, Alex.
We thank you for calling and thank you for listening. It's a fact. The early church worshiped on Sunday. That's a matter of record. that's just a matter of historical record. And I would think that those apostles and disciples that either were with Jesus or were taught by those that were with Jesus, that they would know. And I mean that's church history, that the early church worshiped on Sunday, which was Resurrection Day.
And listen, I just want to tell you, in the world in which we live today, praise the Lord for worshiping. There's a lot of people that worship on Saturday nights, Alex, in churches, mm-hmm. because of the workforce and how many of them have to work on Sunday, and they come together on Saturday. You know, I know some that do so forth on Fridays because mm-hmm. of the workforce. The thing that is set aside is a day to honor him, and a church and a group setting it aside. The early church, by history, and I understand, I think that Sabbath is settled. It is that is set aside, Alex, mm-hmm. you know, the rest and the Sabbath rest that we do set aside that day. It is of the Lord, and we need to set our lives aside for the Lord as well.
And is the caller still on?
Are you on, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about Jesus being our Sabbath rest. So let me just ask this.
But that's not biblical. Jesus does not say, I'm the Sabbath rest. He set aside a certain day for a reason. And if you look at the Bible, there's 8 times when the first day is mentioned. Not right. one of them.
So let me ask you this. If we are to keep the Sabbath as they did before Calvary, why? Is it for salvation or is it for something else? Why are we to keep the Sabbath if indeed we are?
John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, not 8 or not 9, all 10, sir.
Okay, let me make this, Tony. We're going to go on to the next caller because we've had this call many, many times. I would say this, the only one of the 10 commandments that are not repeated exclusively and just made plain is that one about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. All the other 10 commandments are repeated again, mm-hmm. and the resurrection changed everything, okay? Mm-hmm. The resurrection changed everything, Tony. But the main thing is worship. To get into this debate on that is really, you know, when are you going to worship the Lord? The main thing, I am going to worship him, and I'm going to worship him in spirit and truth. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And they were talking about the location, you know. Jesus mm-hmm. didn't talk too much about that location. He said, you can worship him here. The same thought would be about the time as well. Tony, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Doug in Arkansas. Doug, welcome.
Hi, thanks, guys.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, and thank you for your program. When you guys were talking about in the Deuteronomy about the vows and keeping your vows, it reminded me about Judges, and I think it was Baruch who promised to sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house. And I remember going when AFR was going through that. The judges and talking about that.
Yes, sir.
More on exploring the word. But Adrian Rogers had a completely different take that daughter was not offered up as a burnt sacrifice, but that the word that is translated from Jewish to as and can also be translated as or, and that she was not sacrificed in fire as a burnt offering, but that she was dedicated unto the Lord as like a virgin.
Right. I've heard that as well, Doug, and Dr. Rogers is one of those. The whole idea would, again, I my heart wants to agree with that, and there's some evidence of those both. Let me just share with you. But the whole idea is about a vow. The danger of it is trying to bargain with God on such things. If I make a vow that I'm going to give unto the Lord something, I do that. But try to bargain with God is a dangerous thing when it comes to bargaining God with vows, isn't it, Nate? Alex?
That's right. This is in Judges chapter 11 that Jephthah, you know, he said, Lord, if you'll give us victory over the Ammonites, then the next thing I see when I come to my house, I'll offer up as a burnt offering. So a lot hinges on what he meant as offer up. Did he mean sacrifice, or was his daughter set apart, never married, and was to pray and serve the Lord? And a lot of people, and I lean this way too, that human sacrifice was strictly forbidden. I mean, as we've gone through Deuteronomy, and the Lord has spoken to the Israelites as they're entering into the land, you know, all of these pagan nations that perform human sacrifice were you know, condemned by God. So I'm with Bert. The point was making a rash vow or trying to, you know, strike a deal with God. That was, I think, regardless of what happened to his daughter, and I think it was that she never did marry. Because what she said was, she said, you know, Father, let me go away and be with my friends. You know, what you've done, you have to perform before the Lord. So she goes, leave me alone. So she went away with her friends and mourned and wept for two, and grieved really for 2 months, didn't she?
She did. And Doug, I think that's a great call, and I appreciate you letting us look at that again if we gave that impression. I remember us going over that, and I thought we gave both of those alternatives, but my memory could be wrong on that. But, Doug, I think when I look at it, and there's evidence, I think there's a good thought that she never married and remained, that is the sacrifice I do. Thank you, Doug, for calling. Let's go to Missouri and talk to Roger. Roger, welcome to Exploring the Word. Roger, are you there? Let's try a third time. Roger? Okay, can't get Roger. Let's go to Gary in Mississippi. Gary, welcome.
Hey, Bert and Alex, thank y'all for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hello there.
I love y'all studying Deuteronomy. It's one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. I've got four kids. I raised all of them on chapter 6 of Deuteronomy.
Amen. If you don't remember what that is, let me say this, Gary. If people don't remember what that is, it's talking about let them experience the Word of God and teach them when you rise up, when you go to bed. Keep them as frontlets before your eyes. Let the Word of God be prominent in your life. Go ahead, Gary.
Amen, Bert. I was going to switch subjects right quick and say that we've got a brother in Christ that needs praying for.
Okay.
And that's Ted Cruz.
Okay. Time's running out. Let's do this real quickly, Gary. Hey, I'm not trying to cut you off, but we are closing in. For those of you that don't know about Ted, he made some a speech last night at the Republican convention, national convention, and it was a great speech. At the end, he did not endorse Donald Trump, and then this morning he told the folks from Texas a little bit why. Alex, did you hear both of those?
Well, he said that he wasn't going to be Donald Trump's lapdog, or something to that effect, but the thing was that back in the spring, all of the candidates made a vow that whoever the nominee was, they would support. And now that he's equivocating, there's a lot of noise about that in the press. So we need to pray for Ted Cruz, but even more than that, we need to pray for the country, folks. We really do.
Amen. And I pray that we will. We pray for our presidential nominees. And so anyway, I love what the vice president said, nominee for the Republican Party, Mike Pence. He says, I'm first a Christian, secondly a conservative, and thirdly, I'm a Republican. And I heard him when he made that speech quite a few years ago. He introduces himself that way quite often. And so we're praying that more godly, Bible-believing, and biblical worldview believers would get into the political realm, aren't we, Alex?
We are. And who knows? Maybe someone listening, maybe God's calling you to serve you know, your community in some way. Get on the school board or run for something. But whatever you do, take your biblical worldview in that arena with you.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word today. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have Fire Away Friday, where we take questions in the whole hour. So if you've got those questions, write it out. And then when you call in, be precise and let us hear from you. Thank you again for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell someone about it, but more importantly, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.